Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you're an important part of our EWTN family, and we certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. So today we're going to do part two of the year in review episodes for 2025, where we will be looking back at some of our favorite guests and testimonies and apostolates. As we said in part one, we truly are so grateful to have the opportunity to bring so many wonderful and inspiring people from all over the country to join us at EWTN. So today we're going to be looking at some of our guests who are challenging and transforming the culture of today to turn it from a culture of death and selfishness to one of life and selfless love. We're also going to be looking at some of our guests who are equipping Catholic men with the tools and spiritual leadership that they need to be reflections of Christ and God the Father in their families and in their marriages. Mm. And what a privilege to have all the people come. We're so excited to bring them back to you and give you a quick little recap. We're going to be right back, so don't go away. You're at home with Jim and Joy.
Welcome back. We're starting our second episode of our Year in Review 2025 with highlights from some of our guests that are transforming the culture. We'll first hear from Samantha Stevenson, who is the author of Reclaiming Motherhood from a Culture Gone Mad. Is that true or what? She's the host of the Brave New Us podcast. You'll hear her speak about some of the new emerging biotechnologies, the dangers of them, and how they can actually be opportunities for evangelization. Her episodes first aired on October 15th. And then we'll take a look at Father Christopher Scythe, who's the author of Rekindling Wonder and How We Can Take Back Our Lives from Screens and Technology. His episodes first aired on September 24th. Let's take a look. So why biotechnologies? Why is this so important a topic for us as Catholics?
Yeah, I think it's really essential that we are informed and on top of these things as Christians. We need to stay ahead of it. Praise God for the Dobbs decision, right? That's amazing. But we have had abortion embedded in our culture for so long. We're never going to get those lives back. And the things that are coming really threaten to dehumanize us. They are a threat to the sanctity of life, to human dignity, and not all of them, right? Some of them have enormous potential for good, but we need to be a part of the conversation. We need to be a part of the conversation that researchers are having, legislative decisions. Christians need to be at the forefront, influencing the culture, not just reacting. And I also think that biotechnologies present a really interesting window for evangelization, because a lot of times they force people to ask questions that they wouldn't otherwise, you know, about what are we meant to do? What is our human purpose? What does it mean to treat each other in this way? Or can we treat people this way? And it's a way to go in maybe a different door and to help people. When they're curious about something, they're willing to listen a little bit longer. And we have ancient wisdom that applies to every era. Yeah. So we can actually evangelize by talking about these different kinds of biotechnologies. There's so many that we could go into, but I think the first that's important to start with is genetic editing. So we have the ability with a technology called CRISPR to go into the human body and basically snip out our genetic code, like editing a Word document. You know, we take out the broken bit and replace it with, or not even the broken bit. We can talk about that. But this technology is one of those ones where we talk about it actually is can be used for great good and can be used for really nefarious purposes. So when Pope John Paul II wrote about it, it was only theoretical. Well, now it's happening. So I think the most exciting thing that I've seen come out of this technology is there was a 13-year-old girl with end-stage leukemia. No other treatments could work. She's in remission now, thanks to this ability to take out that broken part and replace it. So that's incredible.
Yes. Right?
That's beautiful. That is the licit form that he spoke about. If we can do this therapeutically, praise God. On the flip side, though, there are these pronatalist startups in Silicon Valley that want to help us to design our babies. So all of it would be using IVF, and then to take out not just sequence, and it's bad enough that they do this, but sequence the genome and discard the embryos that are undesirable, maybe because they have genetic disorders, maybe just because they have blue eyes or whatever is undesirable in the eyes of the parents. But there are even companies now that are starting to promote this idea that we should design our children, so we should select the traits. And some of them are even saying, well, one day it will be immoral for us not to have our children this way. It will be immoral for us to have children who are the product of the marital act between a loving relationship with a man and the woman, because their genetic code is too important to leave to chance. And that's the argument that's being made there. So that is definitely one that I'm watching, keeping my finger on the pulse of that. Also, neurotech. So you might have heard of Elon Musk's company Neuralink. They're putting these implants in the brain. Brain-computer interfaces are exciting in the sense that they are going to and have restored the ability of people to communicate. You know, the goal is to help the blind see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. And I mean, I can't imagine going through that and then having this technology to be able to heal that. That is incredible. You know, restored relationship, restored function, that's wonderful. At the same time, the idea of other use cases of what corporations would like to do with a brain-computer interface, I mean, Facebook is, Meta, is already coming up with this neural band. So you have these glasses now. So instead of having a device in your hand, you have glasses. So you're just always seeing the world this way. And the band responds to the neural impulses that your body is sending to your muscles. So you can be writing like this, and you'll see it appear on the screen because it's reading these neural impulses. And so we're already being so, I mean, the phones are a biotechnology. It's this external stimulus that causes all kinds of neurochemical effects in the body. And we all know that, so we don't need to go into that. But do we really want to go down a path where we deepen our immersion in that, where we're literally seeing everything through that screen? And so that's one that gives me a lot of pause as well.
Yeah, I began really the study of it when I was in seminary. And really it began because for a couple of reasons, but I just realized interiorly in myself this, like, something wasn't right. I would see these beautiful things, beautiful sunsets, and I would know, like, I'm supposed to be moved by this, and I'm not. Or I would get glimpses of that way of living, of just being able to be drawn and amazed. And I was like, why does so much of my normal day-to-day life feel more blah, you know, more just like I'm in, this having this malaise and kind of apathy. And I came across a quote by an author, Joseph Pieper, whom I reference in the book, talking about the vice of curiosity, which isn't like a healthy desire for knowledge, the vice of curiosity, which is this just giving your mind to whatever. And really, you know, I mean, this is basically the YouTube rabbit hole or the, you know. And he says that this is coming, this desire to just lose ourselves in getting all information. He says it's coming from someone who is nauseated and bored by the void of an interior life gutted by despair.
And say I read one more time.
That's real.
That's a good
right? Again. He says the person doing this is nauseated and bored by the void of an interior life gutted by despair.
Wow. Yeah.
And those words just pierced my heart. I said, oh my gosh, this is me. Like, I am wasting time online. I'm pursuing all sorts of different things. because interiorly, I'm just trying to run away from myself. I don't like who I am. I don't like the emptiness that seems to be my heart. And just, it seems like I'm not moving towards anywhere fulfilling.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get away from that, mm-hmm. right? And so there's this despair. And so I just started kind of diving into his works and really trying to live a more intentional life of confronting that interior emptiness yeah. and finding God there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it opened my heart to a new way of living and a new way of seeing and just being able to be drawn again. In order to see our lives as a gift of self in love that's given, we have to be able to see the other and whom we want to give ourselves to, right?
Right.
So when I go to high schools and I give, you know, I celebrate Mass for Catholic high schools, and the Catholic high schools are always saying, like, our graduates have gone to this university or have succeeded in this way. And what I always tell the kids is, where are the vocations? Mm. Like, rather than saying our graduates go to this school, and how about our graduates have had this, like, successful marriages, mm-hmm. have entered the priesthood and religious life? You know, where our whole way of living is so oriented towards this world, mm-hmm. rather than oriented towards a gift of self in love.
Right.
And that's, so we value what is concrete, what is practical, but not the simple love mm-hmm. as the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, and we just grow up in this, right? It's and we don't even notice.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the child in us does, right? The Christ child in us, baptism works. And
yes.
So there's this longing to be drawn. And so when we get those moments in our lives where it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is fullness of life here. What am I missing? Right? It can start making us question our values in a really good way.
Yeah.
And that's certainly what happened in my life, just through, in large part, through my friendship with these beautiful women that, mm-hmm. that were giving themselves to the Lord. And I said, whoa, what am I valuing?
Mm-hmm.
And it just led me to pray and want to really live more fully this life of Christ, which is a life lived in love.
Right. Well, welcome back. Well, we certainly enjoyed having Samantha Stevenson on our show. And it was like she was giving a clarion call to things that are really happening in our culture with biotechnology, the dangers, the positive side of it. And when she says motherhood has gone mad, we need to reclaim it back. We really do. So you can get her book, Reclaiming Motherhood from a Culture Gone Mad, at EWTNRC.com.
Father Christopher Scythe was absolutely outstanding. His book title is great, Rekindling Wonder in a Screen-Saturated World. I mean, mm-hmm. his word is really prophetic in terms of assessing what's going on with the screens, the dumbing down of our minds and hearts, and even our wills. So they're wonderful episodes, both of them, and they show us that there's still plenty of opportunity for evangelization and transformation. There's plenty more to come when we come back and highlight some of our other favorite guests who are equipping Catholic men. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. Plenty more to come.
Welcome back. Well, we are counting and we are continuing our second year in review of 2025. And we will now look at some of the highlights from some of our guests who are equipping Catholic men with the tools, needing wisdom, spiritual leadership that they will need to be great men. So first, we're going to take a look at Greg Mayo, who is the author of a great book called Unraveled Roots for Men. He'll be speaking about the deep-rooted wounds that men face and how men can find hope and healing with a rested relationship with God. His episodes first aired on April 30th, and then we're going to take a look at the founder and executive director of the Fathers of St. Joseph with Devin Shod, and his newest book, the Rule, which aims to give fathers and husbands the directives they need to be reflections of Saint Joseph and God the Father. And his wonderful episodes first aired on December 10th. Let's take a look.
When I speak in front of audiences or do Q&As in front of audiences, I always preface with saying, this is what I think I know today, or this is what I've learned so far. Yeah. It's not feigned humility, it's real humility that comes from working on yourself. When you're conscious of your own need for healing, for grace, for forgiveness and all that stuff, it makes it really hard to judge other folks, number one. And number two, it spurs you on to the next thing. I always joke when I got through abortion healing, I was seeing a counselor and a pastor at the same time, not in the same room, but you know, during the same time. And I got in touch with something and I was talking to the counselor about it and he said, oh, you have high functioning anxiety. And I said, what's that? And he listed it and explained it. And I said, well, everybody doesn't walk around like that. But God took it that time, 4 years into healing, to show me, okay, here's the next thing we need to work on. Well, where's that anxiety come from? Well, then I went back into my childhood. What happened there? And and it's not, the other thing people need to understand is I have childhood issues. Most people do. It doesn't mean I had a bad childhood.
Right.
It doesn't mean my mom and dad were evil people. It's not that dramatic. Women are so much more willing to talk about what they're struggling with and whatever. With guys, it's like we play emotional whack-a-mole. An emotion comes out and we're like, I don't want to deal with that. Smack it back down. And what ends up happening is those emotions and past traumas and past experiences, they start eating us from the inside. So to your point, if we're not at least in touch with what's back there, then we can't possibly heal today, and therefore what we do today affects tomorrow. It's this almost like mystical kind of journey, right? You're on a journey. I tell guys all the time, you're on a journey right now. It's just right now you have no direction.
Right.
I was involved in my 20s in ACOA, Adult Children of Alcoholics. My father, when he left his second wife, moved back to the town I lived in. I was a teenager. And he said, you should go to Alateen. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's for kids of alcoholic parents. My drinking probably messed you up.
Wow.
See, my dad brought generational trauma by him and mom divorcing and him leaving. He started to bring generational healing by introducing me to recovery, right? So, and that's an important thing. Generational trauma can turn into generational healing. Anyway, so I had the background in the recovery stuff, if you will. And when I was working with Support After Abortion, they had an Unraveled Roots written by women, geared toward women. And a lot of PRCs, Pregnancy Resource Centers, for those that, they were using the book. It's a six-week study. But we kept getting conversations, questions, and concerns from guys. Like, I want something that makes sense to me. And so we sat down with the idea of, let's take this concept and let's focus on the things that impact guys. And let's write this book in a way that will resonate with men. Because you're right, there's a level of authenticity that men connect with, whether they're conscious of it or not. I can't tell you the number of times in the last 15 years I've spoken at a crowd and a guy's walked up to me and said, hey, look, I've never told anybody this, but... Well, it's not because I'm an incredible orator. It's because I shared a story authentically, and they're like, well, I can trust this guy. I'll go share my story. So it's the same kind of thing that came around that book. So we talk about abandonment.
Right.
Abandonment's a big thing. And all you got to do is look at the stats on fatherlessness in this country. It's an absolute epidemic. You are statistically over 50% a chance that you're going to grow up without a dad in the home if you're born today. That's a huge thing. There's no man intentionally showing the way. And so what you end up with is a thing that I've started calling shadow masculinity. It's, I'm gonna dress the right way and get the right tattoos and grow my beard and all the things. It's right. It's just a show though, because you have no idea. The other thing is a rise in gang activity. If you don't have a dad, there's still gonna be a male hierarchy some kind of way. So abandonment, that's a big thing. And we talk about there's all kinds of abandonment. It's not just dads not there physically, emotionally abandoned.
At conferences and retreats, I lead men's retreats a lot, and there'll be men who come up to me inevitably after every talk with tears in their eyes and saying, where were you 25 years ago? Or just, this is the big one, just tell me how to do it. Just tell me how to do it. what I've discovered in working with men is that when it comes to money, finances, when it comes to our work, we are ordered. But when it comes to our overarching life, we're not ordered. We just, instead of directing life, we allow life to direct us. And then we get 50 years or 20 years, we kick the can down the road and wonder, why am I not happy? Why am I not fulfilled? Because mm-hmm. God has designed it that the most important aspect of our life is relationships. Have you heard about that Harvard study, Robert Waldinger, on it's basically on human development? They studied 724 individuals. And this is back in the late 1930s. And they were inner city kids from Boston, males, and sophomore college males. And they wanted to find out what makes a man tick. You know, what makes him happy? What gives him longer life, longevity, and health? And was it money? Was it prestige? Was it prominence? Was it any of these things? They found that there was one single factor that if you had in your 50s, you would live till your 80s. It would decline your risk of dementia or cognitive dysfunction. And you know what it was? One single solid relationship. And what Harvard professors took 100 years to prove, that's what Christianity has been all about since the beginning, because the Trinity is an eternal relationship. We come from that relationship. We're meant to live in relationship, to return back to that relationship, but only comes by self-giving love. And so we need to learn, what are the two greatest relationships for any man? Husband and father. And at the end of the life, no man ever says, I wish I spent more time at the office. I wish I spent more time with my kids. Wish I spent more time with my wife. Wish I had better relationship with them. That's where we need to invest. That's what will change the world. There's two analogies to the life of a man, the analogy of the bridegroom and the analogy of the father, God the Father. And so what that means is, so let's say my wife is not being responsive to me, or let's say we're having a difficulty in our relationship and maybe she demeans me. My wife never does this, but all I need to do is turn, or like, let's say she doesn't want to spend time with me. I look at my marriage and then I think of Christ in relationship to me. Christ, have I ever been like she is to me in the bridegroom analogy? Like if I'm the bride, like you're saying, have I put you off? Am I distant from you? Am I not wanting to spend time with you? You know, or maybe I'm just not thinking of you. So every time we have something good or maybe not so good occur in our marriage, we can use that as an analogy to enter the heart of Jesus and understand how he's relating and feeling about us. And then with the father, like when our kids are rebelling or when our kids do something that delight us, that gives us an analogy, a window into understanding the heart of the Heavenly Father. And what I've found is one of the key insights with God's fatherhood is, we've talked about this before, actually, the baptism of Jesus. When God the Father makes that solemn pronouncement on Jesus, says, you are my beloved son, with you I'm well pleased, we have to pause and say, why? Up to this point, Jesus had done nothing stupendous by human opinion. No miracles, no raising the dead, no healing lepers. One reason, because he was his. And when we get that as fathers, not because you got a degree in physics or you're great or anything, and even when they come back with a teenage pregnancy or they leave the faith, no, I love you just because you're mine.
Wow.
That's what changes the hearts of our children. Yeah. That's what changes the hearts of our wives.
Joy, Greg Mayer was just absolutely fantastic, and he really hits the nail on the head that so many of these difficulties that we have in our lives with addictions, other things, or not living life into fullness really has to do with our roots very early in our lives. Unravel roots for men, the wounds that men have regarding absent fatherhood, shadow masculinity, types of abandonment. Mm-hmm. You can find Unravel Roots for Men by Greg Mayo at EWTNRC.com. Devin Shod.
Yes.
One of our favorites, just articulating so beautifully what it means to be a man of God, loving your wife as Christ loves the church, what it means to be a father, that you're chosen to reveal the face of the Heavenly Father as Joseph was called to reveal the face of the Heavenly Father to Jesus. What a high calling, and God will provide the power that we need to do that. And so St. Joseph and his model for us is what Devin really focuses upon. You can get Devin Shod's book, The Rule, at EWTNRC.com. And you can learn more about him and his ministry at fathersofst.joseph.org, fathersofst.joseph.org. On behalf of Joy, thank you so much for joining us today. As we finish looking back on these great moments in the year 2025, approximately 150 shows that we've done. So many great people, Catholic people, working for the renewal of the church and awakening in the world. We pray for you a happy and a blessed new year. May your family be blessed in every good thing in 2026. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.